you're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what's going on? Eddie Pascal and producer Trav in Henderson, Nevada and San Jose, California, respectively. And we were talking a lot this week, as a lot of people around the country and around the world have been talking. And it didn't feel to us kind of appropriate to do the normal show of shenanigans, right? And we've gone out of our way, by and large, to make this a show about shenanigans and having fun and kind of just messing around and talking about the lighter side of football. But it doesn't seem appropriate this week. And we wanted to still do a show. We thought it was important to still do a show, to still be working, to be putting things out there. But we wanted to sing a different tune. We wanted to strike a different tone this week. And there's going to be time to talk about training camp and transactions and what's going on with the 2020 Las Vegas Raiders, all of that. There will be time to do that. But as I said, it just kind of felt trivial and it felt just kind of inappropriate given the moment that we're all currently collectively living in. You know, and following the murder of George Floyd, hundreds of thousands of people have taken to the streets, both here in the United States and abroad, you know, protesting the racism, police brutality, and the overall failure of our justice system to simply treat Black people as human beings. And since those protests began, countless teams, players, brands, companies, regular folks like you and I have chimed in some way, shape, or form to express that upset, to express their disgust with another senseless murder of an African-American here in our country. Raiders owner Mark Davis was one of those individuals who did put out a statement, and I'm just going to read that right now. Quote, "To watch a man be murdered by a uniformed police officer kneeling on the man's throat for 9 minutes, while three uniformed police officers either assisted or stood by watching, is disturbing in too many ways. To be honest, I'm surprised that the resulting violence hasn't been much worse. Emotions are high, the temperature is hot, and there's static in the air. But burning your brother's house down is ultimately not the answer. Not only do we have to tell the people there is something wrong, we have to come up with solutions. That's the challenge in front of us, not only as Americans, but as human beings." End quote. And in addition to Mr. Davis, other members of the Silver Black have also chimed in, from Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, Max Crosby, and PJ Hall and Cleveland Farrell actually walked in protest in the cities that they currently live in. And the bottom line is this: people are hurting right now, and they've been hurting for a long time. And hopefully we as a country, we as a collective people, can use this moment that we're living in right now to usher in some very much needed change for a lot of people, because that hurt, that pain that we've seen manifested across the country this past week, that has to change. It's non-negotiable. That has to change for African Americans in this country. It just has to. And I'm a Mexican American dude from Northern California, and I don't know what it's like to be Black in America. I don't know what it's like. I certainly don't, and I'm never going to pretend to know that I do. And I'm from an adopted family. I'm from a multi-generational family. I have a brother who's Black. I have a sister who's half Mexican. And I've always prided myself, and I think my parents did an incredible job of raising us to be accepting of people of all colors, creeds, whatever you want to do it. But the bottom line is, no matter what I do, no matter what my parents have taught us, no matter the things that they have instilled, the values they've instilled in me, I will never know what it's like for my brother to go through life as a Black person in this country. I won't. I will never know that. But now this moment, this collective moment that we're living in, this is our time to stand together. This is our moment to demand that our Black brothers, our sisters, friends, coworkers, aunts, uncles, the guy on the street, whoever it may be, it's time to demand that that system gets fixed for them, so they are given every chance to thrive. And I think most importantly, in watching the news, the media coverage, social media the past week, the one thing that has really stuck with me is that it is time to listen, to really listen, and to learn. And to have those conversations that make us uncomfortable, the ones that we have put off for so long, it's time to say something to the people in your life, the ones that you've let slide for way too long. It's time that we need to do more, because enough is enough. We are at a crossroads right now, and I really do feel like we can use this moment to springboard legitimate, meaningful change going forward. And I'll be the first person to tell you guys, I don't have all the answers. I really don't. I don't think, unfortunately, any of us have all the answers right now, but it's on every single one of us to do more and to try our best to try to find those answers and remind ourselves that in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all this madness, there's still moments of positivity, of love, of empathy, of turning the other cheek, of being the best person that you can be, and just acceptance. And in kind of the tone of that, and in kind of the message that we're trying to bring this week, we're going to have an interview. We're going to play our interview in just a second with Zay Jones. Now, for those of you who have followed the Raiders or followed the national media, the news coverage of these protests the past week, Zay, very early on, following the death of George Floyd, had a tweet thread that made national news. And it was, he shared a story of him going to a home improvement store and a moment that he had with an elderly white woman there that really encompasses kind of what I was talking about earlier, that love, that empathy, that positivity, that trying to make this place, this country, this world, a better place for all of us. So without any further ado, here it is, our conversation with one of the wide receivers of the Las Vegas Raiders, Zay Jones. And Zay, I'll just ask you up the top, man, like how are you doing? How are you hanging in there through what has been a crazy, unprecedented, and really hard time for a lot of people this past week or so?
I'm doing well. I'm hanging in there. Like you said, it's been a hard time, but just keeping hope, keeping the faith, and staying strong, and just leaning on the people around me.
You know, we wanted to have you on for a variety of reasons, but the big one being, and it's no secret by now if you follow the Silver and Black or if you really watch the news in general, that you had a really unique interaction a couple days ago when you were at the Home Goods store picking stuff up for your new house. But and I apologize because I know you've told the story a million times already. Yeah. But do you mind just telling us once more kind of what happened and really how that moment kind of impacted you, not only that day, but kind of going forward throughout all this?
Yeah, I was about to spend some time at my pool. So I was going to pick up some, you know, chairs and whatnot for the backyard. And I was headed to a local store here down the street that sold some furniture. And I'm shopping with my cousin. And towards the end of shopping, I'm at the checkout counter, and an elderly white woman had approached me, both of us. And she was like, "I'm from Minneapolis, and I just want you to know that you matter." She took time out just to say that. And at first I was really caught off guard, because whenever someone approaches you at a store who's not an employee or things like that, you kind of, you know, trying to see what they want or whatever it is. And she had said those words to me, and I could see it in her eyes that it meant a lot to her. It looked like she was on the verge of tears almost. And in an instant, I was just like, I want to embrace this woman. I just want to give her a hug to say thank you. But with the pandemic going on, and she had a mask around her neck, I was cautious because of just the social distancing and everything like that. So I asked her if I could give her a hug, and she just leaned in to give me a hug, and she was like, "Yes, please." And then we shared an embrace, and I think at that point the tears just began to roll even more, and I could really tell that it was just a sincere, organic moment. And she was just trying to tell me to stay positive. She was telling me how much how important it is to spread love. And I was just listening to her, and she was apologizing on behalf of the city that she's from and what's taking place, along the lines of she's sorry for the chaos that's been happening, and it wasn't a good representation of where she's from and what occurred recently that I'm sure we're all aware of.
You know, and there's so much that you can break apart in that story, but you know, one thing that you just said now that I had never really thought about until you said it is kind of your reaction when someone just comes up to you in the store, right? Because yeah, if you or I or whoever it is, if you're getting groceries, you're at the home store, you're picking up furniture, whatever it is, like you said, you don't expect people to come up to you and
and to kind of engage in conversation. So when you're standing there, when you're getting ready to kind of continue on with your day, like, were you caught off guard a little bit? Like, did you have that moment's hesitation of like, hang on, should I engage with this woman? Or?
Yeah. Well, she was just like, can I tell you something? And in my position, I don't know if she recognizes me as an NFL player or Raiders, or if, you know, something's happened early in the store and I wasn't aware. So I didn't know what her intention was, but she didn't know who I was or what I did. And I'm glad it happened that way, because that wasn't the emphasis. That didn't matter. It was just two people from completely different demographics. She being older, I'm a younger guy. Her being white, me being black. And she just wanted to take a moment, in my opinion, to step out of her comfort zone, to show love in a moment where it was desperately needed. And that encouraged me to want to go back and put that story out there, because I felt it was important. Every time I turn on the news, or if I was just sitting at home, rightfully so, with everything going on, we understand. But I was like, man, people need a positive story. And I had no intention of it taking off this way. I maybe thought a couple people would read it and it would inspire them, but it has reached people in Croatia who's reached out to me, the Netherlands who have reached out to me, Africa, people across the globe that just felt so inspired and was like, this is so amazing. Because I think sometimes people don't know how to approach other people and have a conversation and know how to talk. And I think that little story encourages people to be like, you know what, I don't have to be the president of the United States or some famous celebrity to have an impact on someone's life. I can do it here locally with people around me and show them that I care.
You know, there's an argument to be made that, exactly like you said, that we don't stop enough to talk to people and really engage with people that don't look like us, that are older than us, that are younger than us, that come from a different background, that make more money, less money, whatever it is. And you could make the argument that if we can start to have those conversations, to start to have meaningful conversations like that, not just, hey, you know, beautiful day or whatever it is, to like really get down to the nitty gritty, like it's only going to benefit us as a collective. And Zay, when I was kind of reading through the story and watching all the clips that came as a result of it afterwards, one thing that really stuck out to me was the fact that this was an older white woman. This wasn't someone who was in her 20s and her 30s, because if you look at the moment we're in now, right, we're all beginning to have those, and I hope we're not just beginning, but this is really becoming a springboard for having those uncomfortable conversations. And so oftentimes you hear from people, and I'm sure you've heard the same thing in your life too, from friends, family, whoever it is, about older relatives. Oh, they're just from a different generation. And I've never put any stock in that for a lot of reasons, but your interaction with this woman is just kind of more proof to that prejudice, discrimination, whatever it is not a generational thing. It doesn't matter if you're 6 months old or if you're 120. At the end of the day, we all have the chance to be good people. We all have a chance to make a positive impact on each other's life, like this woman did with you. And it doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are or where you were born.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It was just such a pure moment that, like I said, she didn't know who I was. It wasn't even a person in the same age range, so to speak, of me. So it wasn't like it was a younger person who felt the need. But this was a woman that you could tell was much older. She was actually pushing another elderly woman in a wheelchair. So everyone has busy lives and schedules and things like that. And she just took a moment to just really be like, hey, you matter to me. I just want you to know that. And I looked right at my cousin. And I was just like, wow, I had no words. It was speechless. I think it was just a moment that I could tell was very sincere. It was heartfelt. I accepted it. I loved doing her for it. I just told her how much I appreciated her and how much it meant to me. And that ripple effect just carried on throughout the nation.
You know, and that's obviously what I think all of us are kind of hoping for, living in this moment that we are, where those small moments like you have with this woman at the store, or the protesters have with police, or whatever it is, we can take these moments of positivity, we can really grow from them, learn from them, and carry that momentum into some meaningful change. But Zaya, I'm curious, you know, it seems like no matter where you look these days, that people are having these conversations, right? And I'm curious, do you, I mean, you look at the guys on this roster too, you know, Max has spoken out, Derek Carr has obviously said some stuff, as has Josh Jacobs. I mean, you go down the list, and there's no shortage of guys that have kind of risen to this moment and kind of thrown their support behind this movement. Is this something prior to, let's call it the past 10 days, prior to that, is that something that you guys ever discussed, like as a team, as a in a locker room? And I know a locker room is such a unique place that, you know, all of us really have no idea really the intricacies that go into it. But was there ever any types of conversations about this prior to this, or has this moment really been a springboard for those kinds of conversations?
I can't speak for everyone. And I did have a transition where I came through mid-season, so it was difficult for me to have those conversations because I'm just getting to know my teammates as well. On past teams, we have had those conversations. But now I think it's been, although it's a difficult conversation to have, it's been great for our team and the unity of it. Like you said, the captain of our football team is speaking out about it and giving his thoughts. Alec Engel has written some things and sent it to me, and just really heartfelt and deep, meaningful things. And other guys on our team are starting to rise up and speak their opinion. And it's coming from white players, black players, all across the board. Coaches are having the conversation. Mike Mayock's beginning to have the conversation. So just being a part of this team, I really get the sense that everyone is for each other. Everyone's looking for a solution. No one person has the right answer yet. But collectively, we're working to be a part of the solution and not the problem.
You know, and we look at sports so oftentimes as kind of a microcosm for society, right? Where it's the best of people from a different, you know, different backgrounds pulling together, coming together for a common good. And I'm curious now that because of what's happened the past week or so, and because of the conversations you said that guys are starting to have, do you think that going forward, that's going to lead to an increase in these conversations, making them more commonplace, and it's become, you know, having them occur more frequently to really kind of build something tangible that we can collectively as a people use moving forward?
Yeah, most definitely. I think it's going to make people more aware as well, aware of what's going on. I think so often we go about our lives, we do our jobs, and we go home. You know, that's not just for football players. That's for everyone. But now we can go in with the intent of what is this guy going through? Am I seeing changes in things from this person? Okay, how's this person's home life? Is this person battling something? And really just being there so we can lean on each other and not just call ourselves a family, but actually be one. And I can see this group forming into one. Just the other day we had a group workout, and it was a really beautiful thing to see everybody there. Cohesively just working for a common goal. And that's what I hope for us as a society, to come together, to set differences aside, and to talk about certain things, and to work towards a common goal, which is unity for us.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, the ultimate goal is to build a family. And I don't know, I don't know if your family was anything like mine, but in families you have, you know, you have to have discussions. You have to have disagreements. Yeah. You have to give everyone a chance to voice their opinion. And you have to give the people that don't have a voice, you have to listen to them even harder. And I think that's especially true right now. And Zay, I don't want to, you know, make you the, you know, the spokesperson for athletes or for players in general. I don't think that that's fair. But if you look at the past couple of years, it seems like athletes are more willing now to kind of use their platforms, whether that, mm-hmm. that's social media, whether it's the resources they have financially, whatever it is, to kind of put their weight behind things that really matter to them. And we all love watching touchdowns on Sunday, and we all love, you know, the roar of a game day. There's nothing like that. But have you seen, in your opinion, have you seen kind of an increase in guys really being willing to use their platforms for things that are beyond the field?
Yeah, I think for so long, athletes are taught, especially high school, college, play ball, stay away from the political stuff, stay away from the things that ruffle feathers. And that's just kind of how I was brought up. We're so put into this box of the things I think we actually can say. And I can't speak for everybody. I can speak for myself. I just felt like in college, I couldn't really put my voice out there. Being a young rookie, I had the opportunity to talk to Brandon Marshall, who played for the Denver Broncos, who took the knee. And I just apologized to him because I felt like, as a player in my career, maybe naive or whatever it is, I just didn't speak up. I didn't voice my opinion, and I did what was best for me. And I can humbly admit that. And I apologized to him because I was like, this is a serious issue that is far greater than football. And I just want you to know that I support what you're doing. I know why you're doing it. I want to be a part of the solution to help others, to show love to others, and bring a voice to people who can't be heard right now. And so I definitely feel like more recently, guys are coming out and speaking their mind, which is a good thing because we need that. We need the guys with these platforms with great voices to voice their opinion, to help bring change, and ultimately to make this world a better place, because it not only affects us, the people are here, but generations to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that's really stood out to me over the past, the past couple of days is it's the importance of listening, right? Because I think that kind of the moment we were living in, and we're still living through it, is that everyone, you want to say something. You don't want to be that person that doesn't chime in, that doesn't support, but you also don't want to say anything that's going to be viewed in poor taste, or you don't want to, have to kind of massage your words at a later date. And I was thinking about that, and it just feels like right now, like, your parents always tell you when you're a kid how important it is to listen. But I think that right now, sitting here at the beginning, the first week of June, like, we as a country have to listen. And not just like kind of listen, like fully immerse ourselves in the message that these people are saying, that our African American citizens, our brothers, our sisters, whoever it is that they are saying, because they are hurting. And we have a chance, like I said, to really kind of use this moment for positivity. But that's not going to happen unless we really all sit down, look in the mirror, shut up, and listen to what they have to say.
Yeah. I mean, I was taught, don't listen to respond, listen to understand. And I think that's what we all have to do, even as a young Black man still. I don't know everything. Like I said, I don't have all the answers. I'm still educating myself. So I think the two major things that we need to do is educate ourselves and listen with the intent to understand and really try to put ourselves in each other's shoes.
Very well said. And, I think it all goes back to kind of the crux of what this whole interaction was about, that you started the interview with, our talk, was just the importance of empathy, of caring about the person next to you, regardless of skin color, of age, whatever it is, sexual orientation, just being an empathetic, caring human being. And I know we have a long way to go, but I really am hopeful that we can take something positive out of this moment and really just grow from it as a country, because people deserve it. The people that are hurting right now, they need this moment to be the catalyst for change for them.
Exactly.
Well, Zay, we appreciate your time ever so much, man. Hopefully next time we can talk a little football, get into what life is like, what life has been like for you in the desert. But this was an important conversation to have. We appreciate you stopping by, and stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you so much. I would just like to send my condolences to George Floyd and those people whose lives were taken. We'll remember them, we love them, and we're doing the best we can to fight for them.
And a sincere, genuine thank you to Zay Jones for not only giving us some of his time on what's been a very busy time for a lot of people, but for kind of sharing his story, for being willing to share that story once again. And Zay's words really do speak for themselves. They ring true, maybe now more than ever. And as I said, that's how we're going to leave the show this week. I don't think there's anything else that we can add. There's always more to add, but I think leaving on Zay's words is the best way to do it. So for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, our guest this week, Zay Jones, engineer Jim, everyone else that helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, sincerely. Stay safe, stay healthy. And we will catch you guys next week for another episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.